Howdy friends, this is Matt Sewell and you're listening to episode 64 of the Popecast, the only podcast about popes where you'll find non-boring stories about the popes and a reminder that all the world's problems have happened plenty of times before. Our sponsors this week are the folks over at Catholic Balm Co., where you can find the most exquisite beard balms, oils, lotion bars, and more. Head over to catholicbalm.co, catholicbalm.co, to check out their great variety of products. I personally use them, even though currently I'm just sporting a mustache. I know, for shame, but the beard is on its way back. Don't worry, people. But catholicbalm.co, enter the word Pope at checkout, P-O-P-E, to get 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's catholicbalm.co and the word Pope at checkout. Thanks again to Catholic Balm Co. for sponsoring the Popecast. Now, I know we don't normally do special guests on two straight episodes, let alone three, but we thought we'd start out 2021 off with a bang. So this week, we've got another special arrangement, this time a crossover with the excellent podcast, The Quizzical Papist, your extraordinary form bar trivia featuring Father Brad and Grace. If you've ever been to bar trivia in real life, or if maybe you can even remember what that's like after the long winter of 2020, that's the exact structure of their show, and as a result, this crossover. So Grace and I battled it out over two rounds with Father Brad asking the questions. The first half you'll find on The Quizzical Papist, so be sure to go over there to start to see how Grace and I fared in the first round. Our half of the show has the second round and the final results of the, what you might call, the Great Papist Showdown. I really hope you enjoy it. So without further ado, here is the second half of our Quizzical Papist Popecast crossover.
Welcome back to the second half. This round is worth 7 points each, so you can come back, Matt. Aren't you excited?
Yes. I am riveted at the opportunity to destroy Grace in the second round.
No.
Hopefully.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Question number one, round two, 7 points. Not under the Tuscan sun. The VORG, or the Vatican Observatory Research Group, has headquarters and telescopes in Castel Gandolfo and what American state?
Ooh, locked in.
I am locked in also.
Wowzers,
or
y'all
wait,
are
drat.
Smart.
Now I'm second guessing myself.
Okay, Grace is no longer very smart.
My first instinct was Arizona. There's a episode of the Catholicism series where Baron goes there and talks about like science and faith and stuff. But then my second thought was like, oh snap, maybe it's New Mexico. I always get stuff confused in Arizona and New Mexico. I think I'm just going to go with Arizona. That was my gut. So I'm going to go with my gut.
Okay. So Grace goes with Arizona. Matt, what do you have?
Arizona also. Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, because it's not under the Tuscan or Tucson sun. Which,
nice.
So the Papal Observatory,
is
like
it in Tucson?
It's in Tucson,
that's
Arizona.
Okay.
The headquarters, and then they have a major telescope off on a mountain. I think Mount Graham is its name, and it's a little bit further out. And that moved because the pollution in Rome moved originally the observatory out to Castel Gandolfo from Rome, and then Castel Gandolfo had too much pollution, so they moved it to the clean air of the American Southwest. So,
sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. People don't understand that or know that, but the church is a really big player in the astrophysics kind of community. I mean, we have one of the best telescopes in the world in Arizona.
What is like, what's the percentage of, I didn't know the story of why I was in Tucson, but I knew that there was how many craters of the moon? What are the percentage that are named after Jesuits?
Oh, a lot. Like we Jesuit had a question stars? About
that.
All
of them, right?
You're right. I had a question about this.
I think I had a question about this. I think I hosted that episode. It's true.
So I don't know. I know the ones that are named after Dominicans because I care about them more. but so...
Where's your little air horn?
I'm joking. The Jesuits are awesome. I love you, you little turds. Wait, this is on your... Wait, I'm so sorry. This is on your... your feed.
Hey, if there's a place to talk about Jesuit tricks, it is the Popecast. Okay.
Love
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Okay, well, question number two. You both got it. Light, camera, popes. That's the best I could do. Sorry. That's good. The critically acclaimed 1969 movie, The Shoes of the Fisherman, is a story about Russia, the church, the Cold War, and the election of a new pope. The movie ends with the pope doing what outrageous thing?
It's fictional?
It's fictional.
I like literally have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. I'm just guessing here.
I mean, it got, there's two, I think it got two Academy Awards. One was for music. I don't think it was like the best written, but it is a relatively well-known movie. And I mean, Father Josh Johnson got this, so.
Wow. He got the answer?
He got the answer.
Shoes of the Fisherman?
The Shoes of the Fisherman. Funny answers are welcome.
Can you confirm or deny whether or not the answer is a funny answer?
Yeah.
Well, it's outrageous.
All right. Wacky. Is it zany? Is it wacky?
I'm sticking with my adjectives.
All right. Okay. I'm going to lock in. It's probably wrong.
Okay. Grace is locked in. Talk it out, Matt.
Well, like my first instinct is to say like bombed Russia or something, like nuked them.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
What if it like?
It's pretty outrageous.
That's outrageous.
It's like, how many of us don't, you know, have it dreamed of just being like, you know, what would happen if? No, I'm kidding. That's terrible.
That would be like ridiculous.
That's what it would be.
It would be terrible, but especially since the book was written in like 63, like the year after Pachamentaris, where John the 23rd was like, nukes are not good.
Nukes are not good.
So there was that. And then my second thought was like Tiananmen Square type, like going and laying in front of a tank or something.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Man, you should write some.
I know you should write a movie, Matt.
Some heretical
fanfic.
Movie.
I'm pretty sure bombing Russia is not the right answer. So I'll go with like sells St. Peter's Basilica or something. That'll be my answer.
Okay. Sells St. Peter Basilica. Grace, what'd you say?
I said moving the Vatican to Russia.
Oh,
which would be pretty outrageous. Dang.
That's pretty outrageous.
Man. I don't know what that would solve, but
it would seem like an attack on like the Russian Orthodox Church.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
They'd be like, what are you
doing? He like wants to keep a closer eye on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Keep your enemies closer. They're not enemies. Yep. No, two longs. Okay. It actually is selling the church's wealth to feed the poor of China.
Whoa!
That makes sense. The poor of what?
China.
Of China.
Yeah.
Oh.
Matt got it. He said, what? Sell St. Peter's, and like that's a part of it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for you, Matt.
Outrageous, right? And it's outrageous because a couple of things. I mean, this is like, it's, I think it was a good thought process, Matt, because, you know, very wealthy Hollywood always wants the church to sell their, you know, priceless like treasures, but they want to keep their mansions and cars and stuff like that. But no, the church should sell it, and then after one generation there would be no beautiful art in the public domain, like for all of you know, the world and the world's poor and the world's rich and the world's everybody to appreciate, and it wouldn't really solve the problem. So that's why it's outrageous. Okay, so that, keep your points. 7 points for you. 0 points for Grace. Booyah.
7 points in
round two.
Yeah,
round?
Man. I raise the bar when I come over to the Pope cast. Your feed is a lot richer. Fiery Nuns. Question number three. Fiery Nuns. Sister Pascalina Reinhardt, or Madre Pascalina, was the secretary and confidant of which Pope, who himself had a complicated relationship with other Germans?
Locked in.
She's a secretary and confidant of a pope who, she's German, I'm assuming, Reinhardt. So when you said other Germans, you're referring other than her. So obviously the first thought might be Benedict because he's German, but it's a complicated relationship with other Germans. I would assume, so I know that Pius XII was a like ambassador or something, I can't remember what it's called, to Germany. He was like a diplomat or something.
Nuncio,
thank you. And so I'm thinking it could be him because I think he like really loved the German people. And I'm pretty sure he was the one that wrote that encyclical in German that was like, basically against Nazism or whatever. So that would be a pretty complicated relationship. So I'm going to go with Pius XII.
Grace says Pius XII. Matt?
Grace, you are sharp. That's what I said too.
It is Pius XII himself, who gets a bad rap because people are dumbos and they don't actually know history. Like she was his right hand nun. Like she
right hand nun.
She ran his charitable, like the papal charitable response to world charitable response.
Man, is she
to
in,
World War II.
Have y'all seen the movie The Scarlet and the Black?
No.
Oh, Matt.
I've heard of
it. Oh, you need to watch it. Oh, actually, it's not exactly the best historically. No, historically.
Okay.
It's not the best historically with Pius XII because it makes it look like he wasn't as aware of the underground stuff that was going on, like hiding Jews in the Vatican and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Although, like, I think in reality, he was extremely aware of what was happening and part of being instrumental in, like, how it was working. But it's really the story of Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty, who was an Irish Monsignor who worked in the Vatican. And he was like the kind of mastermind between getting all the people where they needed to go in order to save them from the Nazi occupation in Rome. But it's like a super, it was made in the 80s. It's with Gregory Peck and it's like a thriller, but it's a true story, you know, for the most part. And it's really good. Besides the cheesy 80s music.
The story about that sister, I think like people were so threatened by her that apparently after Pius died, they like froze her out. They like booted her.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's so powerful.
People. And she was actually one of the only three women that were in the conclave that elected him. Like they obviously didn't have votes. They were cardinals, but they were like helping and like bringing mm-hmm. stuff and this and that. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. She was awesome. Father Josh said there's a movie about her.
Oh.
And Father Josh gave me this trivia question. So
nice.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Shout out, Father Josh.
Okay. Question number four, Pope Barbarossa. Innocent the 12th, born Antonio Pagnatelli, was Pope from 1691 to 1700. He is mostly known for fighting a hard, decisive battle against nepotism in the church and for being the last pope since 1700 to wear what?
Locked in.
Last pope since
1700 to wear what?
Oh, gosh.
And Matt's locked in, so talk it out, Grace.
Okay. My first thought is wrong because the papal tiara was last worn, I think, by John the 23rd question mark. It was in the 20th century. I know that.
Paul the Sixth. Yeah.
It was Paul the Sixth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was
which
not.
You've seen that TR.
Yes. In
the Basilica.
Well, I think there's probably several, huh?
Oh, maybe.
But it was one that he wore in America. So it was in the Basilica in DC. It's also not the red clothes or whatever that the Pope used to wear, because that was Pius V who wore the Dominican habit, who made the popes wear white after that. And he was like back in like Reformation time period, right?
Was he the Dominican?
Yeah, Pius V.
Because that's definitely Trent. Like
that's Trent. So that's like way back in, you know, 1500s.
That's not a true story. It's commonly, it's one of the most,
really?
Most common misconceptions, actually. Yeah.
Whoa, tell us.
Yeah, I think it was Gregory the 10th, maybe. But it was like in the 1200s.
Oh.
There's a little like disciplinary handbook that exists. It's like the first recorded instance of like describing papal garb.
Interesting.
The white
okay.
cassock, the red cape, which I forget the name of.
Wow. So that is totally urban legend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I mean, it makes sense, but because he was a Dominican.
Right. Well. Yeah. I'll have to stop telling my classes that. Whoops.
I also have to stop telling them that Nicholas punched Arius, I think, right?
Oh, but do we really want to tell people to not stop telling people that?
No, I don't want to stop it. But he did something. He assaulted him. He insulted him.
Took off his glove and slapped him.
That's better.
Right, what about, okay, I'm thinking, so the papal states are still around at this point. So what about armor? I'm going to say armor.
That's interesting. Armor.
Okay, well, I guess it's wrong.
I know. I can never react because then I give it away. Right. It's interesting and wrong. What do you say, Matt?
A beard.
Pope Barbarossa, great. You didn't think of the category title.
I didn't. You're right. So, I don't think I would have gotten that anyway.
And Matt is rocking a great mustache right now. And this Pope Innocent the 12th had a great mustache as well. It was like a goatee-ish thing. It was fun.
They almost have like Fu Manchus, like a handful of those Renaissance popes.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Strange look, but still pretty epic.
Yeah. So he was the last one to note. So that's a lot of years, you know, over 300 years of no facial hair.
Is there a reason for that, or is it just?
Yeah, I think there's a tradition where it's in the tradition where you didn't do that, and they kind of started breaking it in the Renaissance. Correct, Matt?
I think maybe because like beards were seen. I think you're right, for one, because there was a period where they didn't, and then they had facial hair again. Because it was commonly associated with like being in a state of penance. Like there was a pope who was imprisoned in like the Castel Sant'Angelo or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and grew out a beard because he was being imprisoned and Rome was being sacked or something. He also was a terrible pope, Clement something, I think. I think that's right. I'm not actually sure why they stopped.
Yeah. All I know is beards are glorious and they're a sign of masculinity. And, you know, they're very much the fruit of our labor. You know, women birth babies.
Oh, my gosh.
Men.
Okay, Father
babies.
Ryan.
Father Ryan.
That's a straight steal from Father Ryan.
It is. He says it to pregnant women who are literally almost about to give birth.
And then they literally are about to punch him and have like rage in their eyes. And then he starts laughing.
And we all laugh. Oh, there's a story about John Paul II. So Father Wainer, who's the rector at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans, who was my rector, he tells a story of that he heard from a guy who taught at the NAC. And mm-hmm. there was this line when this was John Paul, whenever he was in office and there was this line of seminarians, and the seminarians all had, you know, they were lined up, they were meeting them. And there was this one guy from the United States who's from, I think, Chicago. And so he spoke Polish, like he's from a Polish community. And so he spoke to the Pope in Polish, and the Pope like kind of went back to him and he goes, "You can speak Polish?" And he goes, "Yes," like in Polish. And he goes, "Understand this, shave your beard." In Polish.
That's amazing.
He hated facial hair, and he thought it was unbecoming of like of clerics. And so this American Polish seminarian, he had to have
been wrecked. Like he was probably just standing there staring like, yeah. What the heck? This is the one time I meet the Pope, and that's what he tells me.
He goes, "Do you understand this? Shave your beard." Yes. Yes.
I bet John Paul would tell you to cut your hair.
Oh no. Last question around two. Papal style, speaking of, but this isn't like style, like clothes or hair. This is like titles, right? Mm. So a style is an official title.
Right.
So how many clauses or phrases is the official style of the Pope? Okay. The official style of the Pope. And here's an example from like the British monarch style, official style. So name, but that doesn't count, right? So name. By the grace of God of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith.
Good gracious.
So, and this is the French, the legitimists claim French crown. Is this most high, most potent, and most excellent Prince blank, by the grace of God, King of France and of Navarre, most Christian Majesty. So like that one is most high, most potent, most excellent Prince, by the grace of God, King of France and of Navarre, and most Christian Majesty. That's six clauses.
Okay. So it's clauses.
It's not words.
Okay.
It's like clauses. They're
not
like
that
separated.
Helps me at all,
they're separated by commas. And this is closest to.
Well, I have literally no idea, so I'm going to lock in.
Okay, Grace locks in. Matt, what are you thinking? You study this.
From my armchair. okay, so I'm trying to think of all the ones, and I'm thinking that there's like the, whatever it is, most high, most reverent, his awesomeness. Like there's got to be something like in front of the titles.
Okay.
So it's probably like something, his holiness, vicar of Christ, Pontifex Maximus, servant of the servants of God, Bishop of Rome, Pope, whatever. So that's five. I'm going to say seven.
Okay. Matt says seven. Grace, what'd you lock in with?
I thought of all of those. Well, almost all of those. And I went with four.
Wow. Okay. It is nine.
Ooh. So read it. I want to hear.
Okay. So it's like his name, which I'm not counting. Okay. Bishop of Rome, Vicar of Christ, successor of the Prince of the Apostles, Supreme Pontiff of the Universal Church, Patriarch of the West, Primate of Italy, Metropolitan Archbishop of the Province of Rome, Sovereign of the State of Vatican City, Servant of the Servants of God. And then he comes in with his like background
Steve
music.
Steve Martin comes in.
Steve Martin comes in with background music, his like a wrestler music, like da 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 da. Woo! Okay. Anyway,
that's awesome.
So
it really was all the titles that we're used to hearing, just all squished together. I guess. I think I would have not gotten all the like metropolitan stuff or whatever.
Primate of Italy. Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Patriarch of the West is my favorite little inclusion.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. I mean, that makes sense though. I'm not like surprised by that.
So on his own feed, he turned it on. He's like his home court, home court advantage.
Exactly.
Coming out of
please the listeners.
Okay. Coming out of round two, Matt of the Pope cast has 52 points, blew by Grace of Pints with Chesterton and the Quizzical Papist. And she only has 36 points.
Don't shortchange me.
I will not do that. So it gets us to
Extreme Unction.
Final Grace, the final mercy. I'm going to give you the category. There's three questions. You got to get two out of the three. And if you get only one out of the three or no out of the three, you lose the points you wagered. So this comes down to wager, okay? Linus Cletus Clement is the category.
I'm locked in.
Grace is locked in?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, both teams are locked in. Here's your Extreme Unction questions. Linus Van Pelt is not the leader, but a member of what famous group? A popular author once said of him, Linus is the house intellectual, bright, well-informed, which I suppose may contribute to his feelings of insecurity. Second question. Cletus. Deputy Cletus Hogg is a fictional character featured in what American television series from 1980 to 1985? He's played by Rick Hurst. Cletus Hogg. And finally, Clement. This 12-time All-Star and 7-time Cy Young recipient was famous not only for his pitching prowess, but for his aggressive style, cemented by throwing a bat at Mike Piazza, who's Catholic, in 2000, and possible steroid use late in his career.
Do we have to get all three of these?
No, two out of the three.
Okay.
Trivia is my literal favorite. I don't think I ever told you that, but like, I'm literally on the edge of my seat.
You're having fun. You're having fun.
You need to listen to our podcast on the regular.
Yeah, you should listen. It's basically this. Okay.
I'm behind, but I definitely subscribe. Don't worry.
Nice. Awesome. Okay. So, we'll do Linus. So everyone's locked in. Linus Van Pelt is not the leader, but a member of what famous group? Grace?
Peanuts.
Matt?
Oh, crap. I was thinking way more. I said the Inklings.
I love it.
So listen to it.
Love it.
He's a member, and then a popular author once said of him, he's the house intellectual, bright, well-informed, which I suppose contribute to his feelings of insecurity. The safety blanket. That's Charles Schultz said that of him.
Yep. That's funny.
Cletus, Deputy Cletus Hogg, is a fictional character featured in what American television series, Grace?
I guessed this one completely, Beavis and Butthead.
Nice. Matt?
The Dukes of Hazzard.
It is the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
So now it comes down to the last question. 12-time All-Star, 7-time Cy Young recipient, famous for throwing a bat at Mike Piazza. Grace?
Roger Clemens?
Matt.
Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens, which Clemens is another form of Clement, which just means merciful, which is funny because he wasn't very merciful to all the batters. So you both get two out of the three, different two, but you get two out of the three, which means it comes down to wager. Grace, what'd you wager?
I wagered all of it. 36.
36. So you end up with 72. Matt, what'd you wager?
I wagered all of it also.
Oh, dang. Drats. All in. He ain't gonna not show up for his podcast. Listeners. So Matt of the Popecast.
Good job, Matt.
All of his fans, all his listeners are cheering. Matt, the most benevolent.
I was going to say he needs a big title.
He needs a style. The most benevolent, the most informed, the most prepared.
The armchair theologian of all popes. Or historian, wow. I guess.
Well, he's also the Swiss Guard of the Week.
That's true.
From my fault, being the biggest and the strongest. I don't even exercise.
And so,
Swiss Guard of the Week.
Congratulations, Swiss Guard of the Week. You have won. So, what is your shout out? We go around and give shout outs, kind of like what we should read, what we should listen to, a prayer request, a favorite saint you've been thinking about and praying to.
Yeah, my shout out of the week. This may lose me followers, but I don't care. Let Us Dream by Pope Francis. The new book that he came out with is. I've been red pilled, as the kids say, on Pope Francis even more. I've always like thought that he always got a bad rap. And that if you just like read what he actually wrote and kind of take with a grain of salt, the things that he says on plane interviews and all that sort of thing off the cuff, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with him and that there might even be like a lot of really good prophetic stuff. But yeah, Let Us Dream, his new book, is super fantastic. He talks a lot about his heart, like his own, how he's gotten to this point in his life, the reasons he does the things that he does. He is also a papal history buff, by the way.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, he's a Jesuit.
I just like made these mugs for patrons. But one of the quotes is so good. I'm showing these guys on Zoom, but for those who can't see me right now, it says, "Once you know papal history, there's not much that goes on in the church today that can shock you." When I saw that, I just said the Pope just described the point of my podcast like better than I ever could.
Wow.
Perfect.
But he was exiled for a while, right? The backstory to that really quick. When he had like been a superior, and in the book he talks about it, he's like, I was basically kicked out of being a superior and I earned it because I was really harsh. And so he had to spend like 2 years marooned in some place where he basically just like said mass, heard confessions and read. Like there was nothing else for him to do. And he read a 37 volume History of the Popes by Ludwig Pastor.
Wow.
Which is like this huge, it's like huge tome, but it's like super in depth. I have some of them behind me, four of the 37 volumes. But anyways, that, and then it's just like, you understand why he picked the name Francis in terms of like rebuilding the church. And he like, this is this like prophet who doesn't care what either side is saying about him. He's like, I know that I'm called to follow the Lord and care for the marginalized, and like he's totally aware of everybody trying to twist his words on like the Amazon Synod and like all of these other things. Anyways, women in the church, like he touches on all these topics and rises above like the common divisions that we're all just arguing about all the time, it seems like, to like show us the third way, which is the Lord's way. So anyways, that's the sense that I get. So not perfect, I don't think, but it's really, really good. So that would be my shout out.
And thanks for having me on your own show.
Yeah. Hey, this is a sweet crossover. Second crossover in podcast history. I don't know how many crossovers you guys have done, but.
Done a few.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah, you did. You had Catching Foxes.
No, well, this is the first one where, like, ours is on his feed. He's on our feed.
No, Pines with Jack.
Good point.
Pines with Jack.
Booyah.
Yep.
Okay. So, Grace.
So, I think, did I shout out the woman who was Chesterton already?
Yes, I feel like I did.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to shout it out again because it's awesome. Okay. I also want to shout out Chesterton's Christmas poetry. I don't know if I shouted that out either. I might have. But either way, you should go look it up because it's amazing. Particularly the poem called Gloria in Profundis, which means Gloria in the Depths or Glory in the Depths. Anyway, super awesome poem about the Incarnation. Also, sort of related, but also kind of unrelated to spiritual things. There is a Audible, I guess his stuff isn't technically connected with Audible, but, there was a reader, what do you call it? Like a narrator, somebody who reads audiobooks and records them, who passed away, I think back in like 2005 or something, but his name is Frederick Davidson, or that was his, I guess book name, screen name, something. But he reads a lot of Chesterton's works, particularly the first two installments of Father Brown Mysteries. And he's just delightful. And his voice is awesome. And he has this very particular, intense British accent. And I have just been enjoying things. But I found out that if you're an Audible subscriber, he has recorded over 200 books. And a lot of his books are free with your Audible subscription. And so I just searched his name and like any books I wanted to read, like classic works that he recorded, a lot of them were free. So anyways, I just want to shout him out. Frederick Davidson, awesome audiobook reader.
Legit. I mean, literally, that's what I was going to do. I've been listening. I've listened to all your episodes on Pints with Chesterton. I am loving it. I forget how much art and beauty and poetry affects my spirituality and my relationship with the Lord, how much he moves my heart through beauty and not like syllogisms and just sitting down and like trying to pray. It's like, no, let the Lord move me. And so I've started Exodus 90. I know I'm drinking a beer, but it's Sunday and I'm one of those guys. Okay. So shut your mouth. And so I'm not like getting on, you know, social media or like checking or watching golf YouTube videos at night anymore. So like, I'm literally listening or reading, the Innocence of Father Brown, other books, and Innocence of Father Brown is just rocking my world.
It's so good.
It's so spiritually beautiful. Like I want to be Father Brown, but I'm so not. And you know that.
I do.
But it's okay. It's okay. So go listen to Innocence of Father Brown and then listen to the commentary by the girls at Pints with Chesterton. That's all I have. And so what we do, Matt, is we consecrate every episode to Jesus through Mary by just saying a Hail Mary. And what I'm going to do is mute you, though, since it'll be like delayed and all wonky. Sound good? Okay. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, you've been listening to the Popecast with Father Brad, with Matt Sewell, and then Quizzical Papist with Matt Sewell and Grace Krause. So just do all the things. Email Matt, give him subscribers.
Give him in his reviews. In fact, go listen to his show, review his show, and then in the review, give him titles. Like give him a style. Like give him his papal style.
That's actually what we need. Yep. Yeah. Give him the Popecast style. What is his title gonna be? Good job. I like that.
I'll even throw in a free Popecast mug to the best one. So you can
we can
expand it in case people don't have like iTunes or something. But ping me on Twitter, the Popecast, or Instagram with your best title suggestions, and then we'll make it interesting. You guys can count too. So
yay. Okay. Well, God bless everyone. Peace.